Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks back, one of the more bizarre stories in recent years came to light, coming to us from Spokane, Washington. It was the story of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian lady named Rachel Dolezal, who changed her appearance to live and to portray herself as a black woman. Her deception was so successful that she even managed to rise to the position of president of the local NAACP. And she served as an instructor at a variety of African American studies in local colleges, classes such as The Black Woman's Struggle and African American Culture. When asked about her race, rather than to just give a straight answer, she continued to assert that she identifies herself as black. As I said at the beginning of this message, this story of Rachel Dolezal is one of the more bizarre stories in recent years. But I think we would all agree that it takes a back seat to the story of a 65-year-old man who was once deemed the greatest athlete in the world, deciding that he now wants to be identified as a woman. I'm, of course, talking about Bruce Jenner. This whole story is so bizarre that everyone just saw it as tabloid nonsense when it first started surfacing. But it wasn't made up. And every single day since that first interview with Diane Sawyer, the internet has been aglow with his new identity. And if those two stories aren't strange enough, now there seems to be a groundswell of people throughout the country who are starting to talk the language of gender fluidity. They supposedly don't identify themselves with any one gender, but see themselves as floating between the genders. Their identity is tied up in that they are free from gender constraints and stereotypes. These three stories, along with many others, which we could talk about for days, have made me painfully aware of a lie that the world has been telling us for some time. And that lie is this: that we are what we do, which has completely reconstructed how people find their identity. And the problem and the danger is that where and how you find your identity will determine how you live and what you believe. You see, a dog will act like a dog because it identifies itself as a dog. And a pig will act like a pig because it identifies itself as a pig. But if a dog is raised with cats and begins to think of himself as a cat, he'll then often act like a cat. And if a pig is raised with dogs and begins to think of himself as a dog, he'll often then begin to act like a dog. And so if a person finds his identity in something that should not identify or define him, then he will most likely seek to live in accord with that identity, regardless of its dangerous ramifications, its lack of virtue, or even its relative morality. I've met many pastors who identify themselves and who quite literally find their identity in being a pastor. And I've often told these men that being a pastor is what you do. It is not who you are. Just like being a doctor, or an engineer, or a nurse, or a carpenter, etc. That's what you do. That is not who you are. And that's a really important distinction to make, lest that identity become our priority. See, what you are is what you will do. And if who I am is a pastor, or a nurse, or a carpenter, then everything else in my life will take a back seat to carrying out those duties 24/7. And not only that, but should that job ever be taken away from me or I lose it in some way, I am then suddenly and severely lost in a deep hole that I may never be able to climb out of. Because what good is a boat if there is no water? What good is a pastor without a call? That's why on the face of my new business card, just under my name, I have the phrase, Child of God, followed then by husband, father, and pastor. I put that there to remind myself and to tell others that who I am and how I identify myself is as a child of God. And as such, I try to live my life in accord with that identity, which means I strive to honor the roles in which I live in this world, the roles of husband, father, and pastor, and in that order. We each have different roles that we play in our lives, different marks that identify aspects of our character, of our being, and of our life, what we like and what we like to do. But these things can change throughout our lives. But we only have one identity, one thing that marks us and identifies us as who we are. And for us in the church, that one identity is wrapped up in our baptism. For in our baptism, we became children of God. The Holy Spirit connected us in the water and word of baptism to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He washed us of our sins. And in that moment, he made us heirs of Christ, of his eternal kingdom. We have been made into a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We are children of the Heavenly Father. And thus our lives are meant to be lived out being who we are and doing what children of God do, which is to serve and love God and to serve and love others. But too many of us have bought into the worldly lie that our identity is tied up in what we do and that we're to be identified and defined by aspects of our character and conduct. And thus you'll hear people, they've begun to define themselves by their gender choice or their sexual preference or their race or their nationality or their career path and so on. And perhaps that's all there is for people in the world, people who don't know Jesus. Those people who have not been born again into His family through the gift of faith. But for those of us who know that we've been bought and paid for by the sacrificed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, there can be nothing that identifies us, nothing which defines who we are and how we are to live other than that we are children of God. Not our race, not our gender, not the state in which we live, not our job, not our team affiliation, not our alma mater, not our sexual preference, not our nationality, not our family name. None of it. Don't listen to and believe the worldly lie that the sum total of our identity is determined or even can be determined by merely one aspect of our person or our life. You are more than any of the one of the parts of your life. You are even more than the sum of all the parts of your life. You are, by God's grace, a forgiven and a dearly loved child of God. That's who you are. And that's the truth. May we each live according to that truth for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.